الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفخ في الصور فصعق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله، ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون. وقال تعالى: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, last week we had discussed our aqaid, our beliefs regarding maut, death, and the subsequent stage thereafter, which is known as the realm of barzakh, the life between the life of this world and the life of the hereafter. And as we had mentioned, when a person leaves this world, if he was a righteous person, pious person, he was a believer, then his soul will be taken into the seventh heaven, and his soul will be stored or recorded in illiyin, which is the storage place of the souls of the pious, the righteous. And on the other hand, if a person was a disbeliever, impious, he was an evil person, then the skies will be closed, his soul will not be allowed to ascend, and his soul will then be taken to the depths of the earth, to a place which is called Sijjin, and it will be recorded or stored in this place, which is the jail or the prison in which the souls of the impious are kept. And then we had also mentioned that the soul will retain some connection, some link with the body in the grave, and this is how a person will then be able to either enjoy the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him in the grave, he will be able to see his abode in Jannah, or an evil person on the other hand will undergo the punishment of the grave. And this phase of barzakh, the stage, will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Tonight inshallah we will conclude the series by discussing our beliefs regarding Qiyamah and a few things that will take place on the day of Qiyamah. Likewise, a few details regarding Jannah and Jahannam. When it comes to the day of Qiyamah, then while the exact date or time is not known to any person, but from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are various alamat, signs, that indicate to the coming of the day of Qiyamah. Obviously, time won't allow us to go into the details. Generally, there are separate programs that are held just speaking about the signs of Qiyamah. But this much for us to understand, that ulama have divided it into two categories. One is the minor signs, and this refers to all those signs from the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the arrival of Hazrat Mahdi. So we are currently still in that period wherein we may be experiencing some of the minor signs of Qiyamah. And thereafter will come the major signs, which commence with the coming of Hazrat Mahdi, and then we will have the coming of Dajjal, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and will culminate in the blowing of the trumpet, which will signal the commencement of the day of Qiyamah. So the minor signs of Qiyamah, many ahadith have been mentioned, various signs have been mentioned, which are counted amongst the minor signs of Qiyamah. In the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, which we discussed a few weeks back, Umar radiallahu anhu explained that individual had come well dressed, white clothing, black hair, and he sat in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He posed a few questions to him, that, O Nabi of Allah, tell me about Iman, tell me about Ihsan, about Islam. And finally he says, Akhbirni anis sa'ah, that tell me about the hour, about Qiyamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responds by saying, مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, that the one being questioned doesn't have any more knowledge than the questioner himself. In other words, my guess is as good as yours. Just as you do not know the exact date of Qiyamah, I also do not know. So he then says, O Nabi of Allah, or he addresses him and says, that tell me about the alamat, the signs of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular hadith mentions two minor signs. He says, أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that a slave girl will give birth to her master or her mistress. And various interpretations have been given by the ulama of hadith. What does this mean, a slave girl will give birth to her mistress? One interpretation is that the mother will give birth to her child, but the child will become so disobedient, it will be as though that child is ruling over the mother. So disobedience to parents. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, that you will see those people who are barefoot and who are not clothed, who are unclothed, and who are shepherds. So these three descriptions have been given. أَن تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَ, They will be barefoot, they will be unclothed, and they will be regarded as shepherds. In other words, referring to the Bedouins, those who were from the lower class of society, they were not bothered with the correct footwear, with the correct dressing, etc. يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ You will find this class of people, or this category of people, will now begin to compete in building lofty structures. In other words, they will get so much of wealth, that whereas previous or prior to this, they were mere shepherds tending to their flock of sheep and goats, now they will be competing with one another, who can build the highest building or the highest tower, and their material possessions will become a means of pride for them. So these are two signs that have been mentioned, minor signs. Other ahadith speak about, as we mentioned, disobedience to parents, music will become rife, dancing will become rife, the ummah will begin to consume music, but calling it another name. So they will halalize music, and they will begin to listen to music. The consumption of wine and alcohol will become widespread. Then homosexuality will increase. And various other minor signs that have been mentioned. Every person in every era, every scholar of Islam, and likewise the laymen of every era felt that we are experiencing all of these signs. But then they lived, they left this world, their children, grandchildren came. They went through a period worse than the period before them. They also felt that perhaps now is the time for Qiyamah. And likewise in our era, our time, we also perhaps feel the same. That all of these minor signs we can see very clearly unfolding before us. But Allah knows best. Is this what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was speaking about? Or is there the potential for this to become worse as we get closer to the end of time? So these are the minor signs of Qiyamah. And then come the major signs. No time to go into the details. We'll just read the headings from here. The first is the coming of Hazrat Mahdi. Hazrat Mahdi, various details have been mentioned regarding him. His period of rule will be approximately 7 years. Some ulama have mentioned 5, others mentioned 9 years. But generally the accepted view, he will rule for a period of 7 years. He will be a normal person from the progeny of Fatima radiallahu anha. His name will be Muhammad, his father's name will be Abdullah. And he will be an ordinary person. All reports indicate that he will not even know that he is the Mahdi. Until the time is right, Allah will now inspire him, guide him, and then he will be forced to announce himself, and the entire Muslim ummah will now come under his leadership. So Hazrat Mahdi will come, then will be the emergence of Dajjal. Dajjal, the great imposter, the great deceit. And again we learn of the powers that Allah will bestow upon him, that he will be given the ability to give life to the dead. He will be given control over the treasures of the land, whether it refers to the raw materials, the minerals, the gold, silver, etc. This word, Dajjal, comes from the Arabic word, Dajjal. And Dajjal refers to when a person is deliberately ambiguous. He is vague. He is unclear. Generally, ulama explain it, when a person coats something with a different material. You have in today's time, gold-plated rings. So the ring looks like a gold ring, but there's alloy beneath it. It doesn't actually have the value of gold. It's just gold plated. Or the Masturat will understand, today you have chocolate coated strawberries. It looks like an entire chocolate. A person bites into it and there's a strawberry inside. So this is called Dajjal, when you conceal something with something else. Dajjal gets his name from here. So his fitna or his invitation will not be an open one. He will not come and say that now disbelieve in Allah and believe in me. But he will very slyly work amongst the people and try and deceive them and take them onto kufr, onto disbelief. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have mentioned in one narration that he will have a garden and a fire. And that which looks to be the garden, and he will tell you to jump into it, then make sure you stay away from that because it is fire. And that which appears to be fire, then that is actually a garden, so you should go towards that. Now whether this is literal or figurative, Allah knows best. But this much we understand, he will deceive. And in this way, he will strip or take iman out of the hearts of people. So that is one of the major signs of Qiyamah. Then we have the coming of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who will be tasked with killing Dajjal, and he will do this successfully. You will also have the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj after this. There's those two tribes that have been barricaded by the ruler Dhul Qarnain. So they will emerge, they will break down that barrier, and they will emerge and cause corruption in the land. Eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, take your followers and ascend the mountain, and now you will be safe from the attack of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some type of punishment upon them, they will also be killed. And then there are various other signs that will take place. There will be a breeze that will blow. Then there will be the sun that will rise from the west. This will also be one of the major signs of Qiyamah. And when all of these signs have then taken place, likewise this Dabbatul Ard, that beast that will emerge from Mount Safa or Mount Marwa and will begin to speak to the people. When all of this then takes place, then will be the blowing of the trumpet, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. The blowing of the trumpet, ulama have mentioned, that there will be two blowings of the trumpet. The first will be where everybody in the world, in the earth and in the skies who is alive, will fall unconscious. They will lose their lives. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This will be the first blowing of the trumpet, about which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that the angel tasked with blowing the trumpet has already placed it to his lips. And he is just waiting for the command of Allah, and then he will blow into it. To show to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum how close Qiyamah is. So this will be an-nafqatul ula, the first blowing of the trumpet. And then, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the trumpet will be blown a second time. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And then they will wake up from their graves. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. And every single person from Adam alayhi salam till the last human will now proceed to the plains of Qiyamah. So the blowing of the trumpet will take place twice. After the second time, now everybody will proceed to Mahshar, the plains of Qiyamah, which Mufassirin have mentioned is the land of Palestine, the land of Al-Aqsa and of Sham. This is where Qiyamah will take place. Of course, Allah will make it such that these lands can accommodate every person. So, this will be the commencement of the day of Qiyamah. And then a lengthy hadith that is recorded in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to the Sahaba, أَنَا سَيِّدُ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I will be the leader of mankind on the day of Qiyamah. And then he proceeds to explain why. So we'll just try and mention the gist of it. Nabi alayhi salam says that when the entire mankind is gathered on the plains of Qiyamah, then they will now become concerned, fearful, apprehensive, that what is going to happen, Hisab Kitab is going to take place. And they will be waiting for Allah to commence the day of Qiyamah. So a group of people will discuss with one another that we have now reached, we cannot bear this suspense any longer. So why don't we find someone who can go and intercede before Allah and ask Allah to commence the day of Qiyamah. So they will come to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. They'll address him, O Adam, anta abul bashar, you are the father of mankind. And they will begin to praise him, etc. And they'll tell him, why don't you ask Allah to commence now with the questioning, with accountability, etc. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, that هَلْ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا خَطِيئَةُ أَبِيكُمْ. That it was actually my error, my mistake, that caused you to be thrown out of Jannah. So I do not have the courage to stand before Allah. Go to somebody else, go to Nuh alayhi salam. So they will go to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Again they will say to him, O Nuh, they will begin to praise him, mention some of his virtues. And they'll tell him, why don't you intercede before Allah? He will mention some excuse that I don't have the courage to go before Allah. Why don't you go to Musa alayhi salam or Ibrahim alayhi salam? They will come to him. Again, they will put the same question before him. He will also answer in a similar fashion that I had spoken a few white lies in my life. I had to conceal the truth on certain occasions for the safety of my life and my family. So I also cannot stand before Allah. I don't have the courage. Go to Musa alayhi salam. Same question and answer. Go to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. When they come to Isa alayhi salam, they will tell him, why don't you intercede before Allah to start the day of Qiyamah? Isa alayhi salam will not mention any excuse. He will just tell them that go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhaddithin explain that why will Isa alayhi salam not mention any excuse? Because in reality it was not any error of his that he is shy of or embarrassed of. But he does not have the heart to go before Allah, because after he was taken into the heavens, then what the people did thereafter is they worshipped him, or they made him like a deity. So because of this false attribution to him, he will not have the courage to go before Allah. So it is not any error of his. Nevertheless, he will refer them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, فَآتِي تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. I will then go beneath the arsh of Allah, and I will fall down into prostration, and Allah will open upon my heart such words of praise that I myself do not know them right now. So I will begin to praise Allah and praise Allah and praise Allah. And then Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak. That, O Muhammad, now lift your head. Sal tu'ta. Ask, and whatever you ask will be granted to you. Washfa' tushaffa. And intercede, your intercession will be accepted. When this is said to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now he will intercede before Allah to commence the proceedings of the day of Qiyamah. This particular position that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will occupy in the day of Qiyamah is called Al-Maqamul Mahmood. Al-Maqamul Mahmood, we hear these words in the dua after Adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi al-da'wati al-qa'ima, Allahumma rabba hadhihi al-da'wati al-tama wa salati al-qa'ima, آتِ مُحَمَّدٍ الْوَسِيلَةَ وَالْفَضِيلَةَ وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَ. We make dua that, O Allah, give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that praiseworthy position which you have promised to him. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. O Allah, you don't break your promise. So this praiseworthy position, Maqam-e Mahmood, which is spoken about in the dua after Adhan, refers to this opportunity to intercede before Allah. This is known as the major intercession, which nobody else will be given besides Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There will be other types of intercession also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will intercede for the sinful person, for him to gain admission into Jannah. Then for the person already in Jahannam, for him to come out of Jahannam and be put into Jannah. So these types of intercessions will take place. But the major intercession is this. This Maqam-e Mahmood to commence proceedings on the day of Qiyamah. Thereafter, Hisab Kitab will take place, Waznul A'mal, the weighing of deeds, which is also part of our belief, part of our aqidah, mentioned in the Quran, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah says, we will lay down the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. A person's deeds will be weighed. A person has good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him times 10, or times 700, or Allah will multiply it even beyond that. From the ahadith we learn, person who does evil, then he will only be recompensed in accordance to the evil that he has done. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No person will be oppressed in the least bit. Oppression would be for a person to be punished beyond the extent of his crime. But a person will only be punished according to the severity of his crime. So the weighing of deeds will take place, and then three groups will be made. You will have Ashabul Jannah, the people of Jannah, Allah make us from amongst them. Then you will have Ashabul Jahannam, Ashabul Nar, the people of Jahannam. And Ashabul A'raf. Every person will have to come to what we call the Pul Sirat. Pul is an Urdu word. Sirat is the Arabic word, which is the bridge over the fire of Jahannam, which will take a person to Jannah. Every single person will have to pass over this bridge. وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Allah says, every single one will have to come there. The evil people will not make it across. They will fall into the fire of Jahannam. And the righteous ones, Allah will allow them to pass with ease. And they will then gain entry into Jannah. So, the people of Jannah will go to Jannah, people of Jahannam to Jahannam. Ashabul A'raf, the third group, these are known as the people of the barrier, or the partition. And this refers to those people whose evil deeds and good deeds were equal. So they do not gain immediate entry into Jannah, nor are they condemned to Jahannam. Quran speaks about a conversation that will take place. The Ashabul A'raf, when they are now on this partition or this barrier between Jannah and Jahannam, they will now address the people of Jahannam. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالًا يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ قَالُوا مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ جَمْعُكُمْ. They will say to them that whatever you gathered, your wealth in this world, and all your efforts that you had made, your large families, and whatever else you took pride in this world, has not availed you, has not benefited you in any way. And then they will point to the people of Jannah, and they will say that these are the people who you used to mock at, and you said Allah will not shower His mercy on them, and they are following some strange way. Now they are going into Jannah, and you are in Jahannam. So like this, they will address the people of Jahannam. Eventually, ulama explain, Ashabul A'raf, Allah will enter them into Jannah through His mercy. So this is regarding the day of Qiyamah. This is just a brief overview regarding the activities or what will take place on the day of Qiyamah. Regarding Jannah and Jahannam, just one important point for us to realize. As Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe that Jannat and Jahannam are two physical places. It does not refer to just a state of emotion or feeling, happiness or sadness, as a few misguided groups have claimed. But Jannat is a physical place, Jahannam is a physical place. And with this we also believe they have already been created. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Jannah has already been prepared for the people of taqwa. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ Jahannam has been prepared for the people of kufr and disbelief. Regarding Jannah, when Allah created Jannah, then Allah told Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that go to Jannah and have a look. So he went to Jannah. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا He looked at Jannah and he came back to Allah. And he said, Oh Allah, I have conviction that nobody will hear of the description of Jannah, but that he will definitely enter. In other words, he'll do whatever it takes to get to Jannah. So Allah then says to him, O Jibreel, go back and look again. فَحَفَّهَا بِالْمَكَارِ Allah then placed around Jannah difficult actions. Waking up for Fajr Salah, paying of Zakat, speaking the truth, doing business in a trustworthy manner. And all of these actions that are generally difficult for a person to do in this world. So Jibreel alayhi salam went and looked at Jannah once again. And then he came back. And this time he said, Oh Allah, now I have fear that nobody will enter Jannah. That's how difficult it will be for a person to do all of these actions to get into Jannah. Showing that it is not just a walk in the park. I can just lead my life and not bother about my direction or what I am doing. And I'll just get Jannah like that. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Nabi alayhi salam said, the commodity that Allah holds is very valuable, very precious. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-Jannah. This commodity is Jannah. It's precious and therefore it requires a lot of effort. Then Allah created Jahannam. He said, Oh Jibreel, go and look at Jahannam. So he went, he came back, he says, Oh Allah, nobody will hear of the terror of Jahannam, but that he will make sure he saves himself from it. Allah says, go and look again. فَحَفَّهَا بِالشَّهَوَاتِ Allah now put around Jahannam all those actions that conform to a person's desires. Listening to music, abusing the gaze, speaking lies, etc. And Jibreel alayhi salam comes back, he says, Oh Allah, now I have fear that they won't remain a single person, but that he will enter Jahannam. That's how easy it will be to fall into Jahannam. So this hadith is there to caution us. Not that we should have so much of fear that I won't enter Jannah or I'll definitely enter Jahannam. No. Ulama say we have hope in the mercy of Allah. At the end of the day, Allah's mercy overpowers his anger. But this is there just as a reminder, as a warning to us that we should not just take it easy, go with the flow. My life will come right. Oh, I'm in the masjid now and again, so it's okay. I look like a Muslim a little bit, so definitely I'll get Jannah. But for us to be concerned, firstly, whether our beliefs are correct, our a'mal, our taqwa, etc. This is, again, my dear brothers, this is just a brief overview, an appetizer regarding our aqai. There are so many sections we haven't got into regarding shirk, regarding bid'ah, innovations, and many other sections. Inshallah, at some stage in the future, Allah gives tawfiq, then we can discuss those. But for now, this is just for us to get some sort of an understanding regarding our beliefs. Our belief system must become correct. Regarding the proofs and evidences, as we mentioned in the beginning, in the first session, that is best discussed in a classroom setting. But there are definitely evidences, proofs for every single belief that we have mentioned. Concrete evidences, logical, rational proofs, likewise proofs from the Quran, hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for us to have yaqeen, have conviction upon this. And as we mentioned right in the beginning, and we'll repeat it, if a person does not have any of these beliefs, any one of these fundamental beliefs, then that person does not have iman. A person can believe in 99 out of the 100, and he does not have belief in just one aspect which is a fundamental, then that person is not a mu'min, and his abode in the hereafter will be Jahannam forever and ever. No matter how good of a person he was, no matter what a gentleman he may have been, how kind he was, how generous he was, he donated all of his wealth also, he was involved in humanitarian efforts, and all of this that he did, Allah will reward him in this world for it. Allah will reward him in some way or the other in this world. But the criteria for success in the akhirah is iman. So we can understand how important these beliefs are. To this extent, ulama explained, a person who has iman, he may not even have read one salah in his life. Not to say we shouldn't read salah. But he may not have read one salah. He never paid a cent in zakat. He didn't perform hajj. He didn't fast in the month of Ramadan. He didn't do any of these actions. Not one page of Quran he knew also. But he had iman, belief, faith in Allah, in the last day and in all of these fundamentals. Eventually, perhaps after a very long stay in Jahannam, eventually he will enter Jannah. Because he has iman. But a person who read salah, and he did all of these good actions, but his iman, his belief was not correct. He had some aspect of belief that was a kufri belief. Then he will not gain entry into Jannah. So for us to first introspect, as we mentioned, this is not for us to now pass judgment on others. If a person subscribes to any incorrect belief, or he follows a group that has incorrect beliefs, then we can say that those beliefs are incorrect. These are beliefs of kufr, of disbelief. But we should refrain from passing statements of kufr or judgments of kufr upon any individual. At the end of the day, we do not know what is in their heart, what true beliefs do they have. But we can say, yes, if a person subscribes to this set of beliefs, which go contrary to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, contrary to the beliefs of Islam, then these beliefs are kufr. Anyone who believes in them, then he will be walking down that path. But we should refrain from passing judgment. In fact, to this extent, ulama have written also, a person leaves this world as a disbeliever, then definitely, we will not treat him as a believer, and we will understand that this person is not going to go to Jannah. But there is that possibility that before he left this world, he corrected his aqidah. And maybe he didn't tell anybody about it. He didn't tell his own wife, children, family members, colleagues. But before he left this world, somehow or the other, he read some literature, or somebody spoke to him, and in his heart he corrected his beliefs. We don't know if he died on iman or on kufr. So we should refrain from now insulting or cursing those who have left this world. We leave that to Allah. Yes, if a person did not leave the world with the correct beliefs, undoubtedly, then there is no chance for him. But the purpose of this entire series, first of all, to create some awareness that do I know my beliefs correctly? Do I understand them correctly? What do I believe regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of these important aspects? Now for us to go back, there's a lot of literature that's available. This kitab also is available in PDF. If anybody wants it, then they can send us a message, inshallah. And there are many other kitabs that are available that we can then read. If we have any questions, ask the ulama ikram, so that we protect our beliefs, our aqaid, and ultimately we leave this world with the correct belief, so that we can gain entry into Jannah. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.